Okay, so let's just go around the table then and say a couple words about ourselves. Let's actually start with Matt,
All
'cause
right.
I'm the wallpaper here.
So my character is Doc Keratin. He's a longtooth shifter, cleric of Doldorn, lives in the city of Mariposa where we're currently at, sells religious relics.
And Matt, do you want to say a word about yourself as well?
Oh,
Yeah, as a human.
I'm Matt Buholtz. I play D&D.
And he's great at it.
My character is Ariant, human wizard, of noble blood. Basically, he's dope sauce. He's going to be ruling the kingdom, so keep your eyes and ears peeled for that. My name as a person is is Daniel Acker. Super nerdy.
We're only half a cup in right
Yeah, we're only half a cup in, and I'll probably just give people back massages during the game, don't
Okay.
worry.
That's XP.
Yeah.
Like 1 second is like 1 point of XP.
And it looks like I'm getting 1,000 XP.
Keep it up.
I'm Matt Cook. I'm playing Darjeeky, a Hengyokai. Someone write in and correct me.
That's correct.
Wild mage, sorcerer. He's a half man, half rabbit, hybrid, wild magic guy. And I have all of those same features in real life.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Is wearing a rabbit shirt.
Yeah, Monty Python rabbit shirt.
Yeah.
The Holy Hand Grenade of Antioch.
Yep.
Bonus
On
points.
three.
On three.
I hope
Two.
that's how
Three
Darjeeky sounds
set.
in game. That's sweet.
Huh?
But I hope that's how Darjeeky sounds in game.
He sounds like a lot of things. He's got a lot of charisma. Like our next player.
Hey.
He was talking about Gary, so it's
I thought, oh, yeah,
I forgot
Tom,
you were
you
here.
Don't count.
Okay. Oh. I'm Tom Fonz. My character is. What is
It sounds great.
Oh, great. My character's Gub. He's a dragonborn fighter slayer. And he was a thug for the Blaystone Yakuza his whole life. And now he's on the run from his mob boss, Asmar the Ashmaker. And there's a bounty on his head. And shit got real.
Tom's breakdown of his character is like a Hollywood movie trailer. He
Yeah.
tells you everything right
That's
off the bat.
Good.
Can he
DM's
survive?
dream over there. I love it.
I did mine wrong because that
Yeah.
sounded great.
Yeah.
I'm Gary Soldati. I am playing Grailford Stoneshield. He's a dwarven sword mage. He never uses a shield, but he always has his family's shield on his back. So he's got that going for him. He's just a good guy. Hammer Morden. Looking out for the people. Defender class. Excited to be here.
It sounds like it.
I'm Brian McGrath. I'm playing Franklin Wolf Lewis. He's a ranger, beastmaster, shoots a lot of arrows. He's in a gang called the Keep, and he doesn't take no shit from no one.
That's right, and we saw that in a little test session we did. My name's David. I will be your dungeon master for today. I've been playing Dungeons and Dragons for so long that I started to wonder if maybe it might be like an obsessive compulsive disorder the other day. Hopefully not. But yeah, I'm excited to be playing the session. We're going to be playing an adventure which I whipped up myself. So when it gets a little clunky in some places, you know, there's a reason. Not a professional. Just doing it for fun. But no, it should be a good session. I am super stoked. This is an amazing table of talent. Talented,
People
amazing players.
listening, Gary is the most handsome. Just throwing that out there to all the fans.
So, I think we can just get started. So, if I may, part the veil of reality.
Stop in a Cinnabon.
People are demanding money for you. Hey, come on, come on, gold, 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 please. Come on, come on. One gold piece, one gold piece. All sorts of stuff. Can I just go around and ask if anyone has a high passive perception here?
I got a 14.
I have a 17.
13.
10.
9.
I'm going to say Brian.
17 is my.
17 sounds like Brian. Okay. Brian, a host of young children, shoeless, some of them, you know, missing teeth.
You gotta get some of those boots.
Well, one of them shoeless Joe Jackson, so that's pretty cool.
Come rushing up all of a sudden in a big crowd and are all crowding around you guys and going, nah, and holding out their hands for things to be given, jostling for position. You notice a subtle tug upon one of your belt pouches as a child of about 7 seems to be trying to open up your gold pouch or slip into your traveler's backpack. And you see another one is doing it to this gentleman, the solid dwarf, who's trudging along next to you, trying to pickpocket you, essentially. You don't notice Grawford, but you do. Wolf, I got to get used to your names here.
I notice. I smack his hand, and I yell to Grawford, man, that kid's trying to steal your shit.
Buckle up.
Get ready. This is crit juice.
Grawford just obviously points it out, and you see some kids got his hand, you know, wrist deep in your belongings.
So I grab his hand and make sure he doesn't have anything in it and say, pick a better trade, and pat him on the head. Is he a human child?
It's all a mixture of races, mostly human. The city seems to be. You notice some, like, half-orc you know.
If it's a half-orc, I punch him in the face and leave him there.
Young child, did I say?
Yeah.
Let's roll a die.
Let's roll for child abuse.
Okay.
No, if it's a young, I wouldn't say anything nice to him. I'd just say, ugh, so young. And it starts so young, and then...
Even if it's a half-orc.
Yeah, and just kind of push him away.
Okay, you push him away.
Yeah.
You're kind of surprised to see this level of crime in the city. Doc, what do you do with all of your... what were you selling there at the...
I had, like, a collection of wooden swords, and, like, swords mounted, like, brass swords on plaques.
Ooh. Yeah.
These kids probably made them. I sell them at my stand on the gates of town. So I've just got, like, them in, like, a rucksack on my back.
Gotcha.
It's a portable stand.
I kind of imagine the traveling mask merchant from the Legend of Zelda series.
Similar to that.
Okay. Excellent. As you guys come through, there's also all manner. This is just the crowded streets, but beyond that, all the tenements. It seems like most of the first floor businesses have been transformed into things that might appeal to travelers who come through. A lot of stuff offering true relics, you know, the legitimate holy relic of, you know, St. Cuthbert and all these things like that. A little further back, you see things like, you know, female entertainment parlors and places offering to, you know, refurbish your swords and all stuff. female sword refurbishers and such. As you pass through the gates, suddenly the shout of, "Halt! Halt! Thief!" comes echoing out to you. You can see 2 guards in pursuit of 12 or 13-year-old, it looks like, kid. Looks like he's wearing like a homespun kind of made shirt, trousers, shoeless, booking it past you guys, going to try and book. It looks like he's going to run right straight towards you, trying to make it into the low town you guys just came through. You can see in his hand, he's holding a golden necklace, beads. It's got a little pendant on the end. And there's a fat merchant standing in the background next to his cart, shaking his fist angrily. The kid comes charging up. It looks like he's going to cut right through your little group as you're coming through the gate to try and book it past you. The 2 guards are, you know, 15 feet behind him.
Can I have perception to see what the pendant looks like, if it's religious or not?
The kid looks like Aladdin.
Yeah, I said, street rat!
Yeah.
10. 10 perception.
No, it's jangling and dancing around in his grip. Yeah, it's just, you can tell that it's gold, by the way, the sun prints off of it. Yeah, fur in your eyes, that's true. Shifter.
I have no intention of stopping.
He shoves you aside and comes bolting past.
I try to snatch the thing out of his hands as I, like, try to, I, like, move. I pretend like I'm falling, like he pushed me over, and then I try to snatch it out of his hands.
Okay, so he rushes by with just inches of you. Go ahead and make a thievery check.
For a 21.
21 total?
Thievery, yeah.
Okay. Opposed by his thievery check, which is high enough. You snatch it out of his hands as he goes by. You see he makes eye contact out of the corners of his eyes with you as you rush past. He notices it disappear from his hand, but he does not stop. Continues to rush. A second later, the guards come rushing through.
Put it in my shirt.
I yell to the guards, man, you better catch him. He's getting away.
They're puffing. They're red-faced.
High knees. Get those knees up.
Full breastplates. Helms, those pointy ones that those conquistadors wear. They've all got holbreads. You know, they're wearing those puffy pantaloons. They're all red and yellow.
Hammer. They're the Pope guards?
No, the Pope guards have like, similar to the Pope guards.
Just like the Pope guards.
Not quite. More of like a red and yellow stripey thing.
Okay.
Not so much purple and stuff. They look like they're a little bit, they're not going to catch this kid. He's about home free when one of the guards who's down in the city steps out. Bam! Grabs him. This is taking place 50, 60 feet from you guys. You get a pretty good look on it.
Damn.
Grabs him, goes, what do we have here, a little thief? You know, shakes him pretty good. The kid's face goes white, totally trapped. Give me back that necklace. The kid goes, I don't have it. I don't have it. Yeah, I don't have the necklace. It's a little kid voice from me. Thank you.
Nailed it.
I'll try and bring that down a little bit. I don't have no necklace. About that time, a man comes walking out of the crowd. He looks a lot like the other people in the low city. And he's got cold blue eyes, which are focused right on those guards. And he walks right up to him and he goes, the kid's with me. All right? He's just some dumb kid. I'll pay you back, whatever it was. You leave him alone. He doesn't know what he's doing. And they let the kid go. And they come up to the Haman and they go, you trying to tell us what to do? Don't you know we're the city guards? They give him a couple gut shots. You know, he doubles him over.
Gub tries to intimidate the guards to stop the beating. He goes, hey, quit the bullshit, guys. Leave him alone.
I like that Macho Man was reincarnated as a dragonborn.
For a 20 intimidation.
They take notice of that. As you come striding up to them?
Yeah.
I assume? Okay.
I follow.
I follow as well.
Aryan stands back with a smirk.
Wolf's back by Aryan's, but just kind of...
I was still walking towards the, the shrine.
Yeah. Like, so you're through the gates.
I was ready to go.
Yeah, someone comes up to you. Once you're in the square somewhere, then I guess, and someone comes up to you and goes, do you still have any of those swords on the plaques?
Yep, got one right here.
Okay, so you're maybe in a business transaction, but out of the corner of your eye, you can see this taking place.
I turn around and realize no one's there. Horribly embarrassing.
The guards take notice, Gub, as you come striding up to him. Would you like to describe what Gub looks like a little bit?
Yeah, he is a 6'8", 45-year-old dragonborn. He's a bruiser. You would imagine him, you know, outside of a bar in Blaystone being a bouncer.
What color dragon does he owe his heritage to? What color are his scales?
Red.
Red scales. Okay. Come strolling up. Are your tattoos... I know you've got tattoos. This is something you told me before. Are these visible on your arms? Are these hidden? Are these, like, on your back? Underneath your armor?
No, they're all along the arms, and it's the tattoos of the foe that he has killed over the years, and it's around 120.
And you're wearing... Is it full plate or scale plate?
It's scale armor.
Okay, so you come rolling up to these guys ready for battle. The two guards take notice. Hey, keep moving along, all right? This doesn't concern you. The guy who's getting the gut punches, who looks up, but he's not fighting back. He's just taking the gut punches.
I go, it does concern me. Ass kicking anywhere concerns me. And I mainly do the ass kicking. Do you know what I mean?
Mainly.
It dabbles in a few other pastimes.
Two guards look at each other. They look like they're trying to look pretty hard.
Yeah.
But you're close enough to see that one of their knees is actually shaking together. There's a little, like, rattle.
Great.
Their pantaloons are quavering. One goes, come on, this guy's learned his lesson, I think. And lets him go. The guy that they're holding up kind of staggers forward a few steps. He's had the wind obviously knocked out of him. Looks at you and goes, "Why'd you do that for me?"
"I don't like people getting their ass kicked for no damn reason when they're just trying to help out."
"I like it," Marianne says in the background.
They can't hear that. You hear that, Wolf.
I said, "There you guys are."
Yeah, okay, come back.
Gub's going to ask, "What's your stake in all this? How do you know the kid?"
"Yeah, he's just some kid. He's just some kid. Yeah, I don't know. They're all idiots around here, huh? Yeah, you got to do what you got to do when you come from down here in the low city. Now, what brings you here?"
"Well, we're coming to the holy city. A lot of us have different motivations, different reasons. But we got into a shitstorm brawl the other day, and we all became buds. So we're going to the holy city together."
That's Clint Eastwood as the dragon.
Yeah, I wish you guys could see Tom, because Tom is...
committed.
Tom is a tall, stocky Iraqi war veteran. Yeah, that's just how he sounds all the time. He looks up and goes, "Yep, yeah, I understand that." All of a sudden, the traffic has stopped, and then the far, far end, you hear the sound of cheering. Yeah, woo, lots of happiness. Lots of cheering. You're not quite sure. What is it? You know, instinctively, Doc, because mm-hmm. you've been around for a little while.
You guys have been here.
Yeah. You live here. Probably this time of day, this time of year coming through. It's probably a royal parade coming through here, a little royal procession coming down from the castle.
They didn't ask me.
Sure enough, in a few minutes, a huge navy blue carriage, but you can see in there, none other than the man whose face is stamped on the coins in Mariposa, the king, aged King Godfrey, in his upper 70s now, 70s to 80s. What that, Arians?
Oh, I know King Godfrey.
He mutters something under his breath.
Old fool.
how old is Arians?
28.
It's 28, okay. There seems to be a huge, people love this guy. He's riding through. The king, you can see, is sitting heavily in his seat. He's doing what he can to raise his hand. Kind of imagine a Queen Elizabeth II kind of situation sitting next to him. The princess, who's gorgeous, stacked. She's got the big pointed pink hat the princesses wear.
Oh, yeah.
The train coming off of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That does it for everyone at this table.
Yeah. She's quite joyous and energetic. She's waving energetically at everybody. The love is just pouring out of people on the streets. As this starts to come down, the guards see that the procession's coming through. The two guards at the gates of the little city, and they give a... That's supposed to be a whistle.
We'll fix it in post.
Give a whistle, jerk of their thumb, and they start... The gates, the giant doors to the gates of the little city, they start to slowly, ponderously... You know, they're 20 feet tall, so it takes a little while. Swing them shut to close off the low city from the upper city as the carriage starts coming around. As you guys are hurrying through, however, the guy who took the gut punches tags along right behind you. One of the guards just starts to go, "You can't come through here." And he goes, "I'm with them." And the guard saw what went down with Gub and just pops in through with you guys. Yes.
Do we notice him say that and tag on?
What's your passive? You guys definitely do.
I have a 10.
Oh, yeah. He's with you, though. Okay. Yeah, you hear him say that. Doc, you notice that one key noble figure is missing from the royal family's procession. Prince Ezra isn't there. He's not in the carriage with the other two.
To be fair, the princess is better than Ezra.
Yeah.
90s reference.
Yes, yes.
I need another drink.
Doc, how do you feel about the royalty?
I'm not a big fan. I mean... If you want to live in a fancy house, that's fine by me, but...
Pragmatic. Okay.
I don't need it.
Ariane notices the princess and goes, "Perhaps we should combine some kingdoms later."
The princess is quite out there and is waving and trying to get people's attention. Who has the highest charisma of the group? What is Darjeeki's charisma?
20.
Pretty high. What form are you in? Are you in rabbit form?
I'm in human form.
Human form. What do you want to describe a little bit about your handsome face?
Yeah, he's super duper handsome. Young man, dark hair, bright eyes, very charismatic, very approachable.
Okay. So I was going to say like a Ryan Gosling look, but you said dark hair.
Yeah, dark hair.
Ryan Reynolds.
Freddie Prinze Jr. Ryans.
Freddie Prinze Jr. Younger, like in his prime.
Well, he's a little bit shaggier, though. I just pictured him more as an like an Adrian Brody.
No, because he's...
No, what's the guy from the OC?
Adam Brody.
Adam Brody.
Adrian Brody.
No, he's very... He looks like a man.
Like a Matthew McConaughey.
Gosh. I'll do some Google searches.
Channing Tatum?
Colin Farrell, maybe?
Maybe.
Joe Manganiello. The guy from...
No, don't say that.
Who's the new guy they cast? Is Finnick in The Hunger Games?
Cary Ewell.
He's like... He looks like a young Hugh Jackman. Right?
He looks like a young Gary Soldati.
Oh, a very young Gary Soldati.
Like 12, when he was just all beefcake.
Yeah. Much younger.
12-year-old Gary Soldati.
It was hot. I shouldn't say that because that's criminal, but I stand by it. So handsome. Can we all just take a second to stare at Gary and just dream?
I can't not stare at him.
Tuck our hands beneath our chins and just sigh.
Hey, sweet cheeks, can I get you a drink?
I have a drink, and I'm going to partake in that as we speak.
Good boy.
I'm getting a refill on mine.
And just to be clear, this charisma modifier brought to you by whiskey.
Is there anything it can't do? Whiskey.
Yeah. Roll. Find out.
Briefly, the last game that I cannot drink rum.
Yeah, that was brutal.
That was a crazy game.
That was a brutal 3.
Aren't we drinking rum today?
I'm not. I'm drinking whiskey.
Okay.
Yeah, don't give Buholtz any rum, because he'll get very quiet and very pale and go for a lot of walks.
Crit fail of the soul.
Yes,
it did hurt him very badly.
I can't... Yeah.
It took me many rounds to save from that.
He has no resist to rum.
Nice reference. There ought to be, I ought to have an achievement for best out-of-game reference to in-game mechanic. Because I may give it to that one. That's pretty great.
What was it?
Best out-of-game reference to in-game mechanic, like a inter-game pun.
Okay.
You had to save against
his. He's going to win all of those.
I don't think so.
I was just joking about doing that.
I'm not.
Oh. Okay.
Cook is going to win.
Do you get it?
Do you get it?
Cook is going to win the achievement that doesn't exist.
Yes.
We'll think about
that. Shut him up achievement.
Well, Darjeeki.
Yes.
Your good looks seem to have caught quite visibly the princess's attention.
I know.
There's a flush on her. She's looking at everybody. She's giving the royal wave. She's, you know, she's young. She's not too young, but she's like
nice.
17.
18. Ooh, well, okay, okay.
Oh, no, you're a little older.
It's going to be 18 in a couple of weeks.
I'm close. I'm 103.
She catches eyes with you, flushes visibly, from within the carriage produces a rose and flings it towards you across the crowd, sails over everybody's heads, and it lands at your feet.
I try to catch that rose. Do I have to roll?
You better roll to look cool.
Ooh. I rolled an 18.
Almost a 2.
Yeah. You could catch it in your teeth if you wanted to.
I would love to catch it in my teeth.
Might be too much.
Well, what? No, I don't think so.
She gives a little grimace when you do that. Oh,
no, and then I wink.
No, that's great. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You catch the rose easily, snag it out of the air with a little flourish.
And I sniff it a little bit and
smile. She smiles at you. The carriage rolls on. Wonderful.
Fantastic.
You're a short journey to the shrine. Carlos
looks at Darjeeki and goes, I'm pretty sure that rose was supposed to be for me, but you hold on to it for now.
That's Darjeeki's voice. Yeah.
Like a Gerard Depardieu laugh. I like
it. I've got it all worked out, guys.
The rest of the journey through the city happens.
That's why it took me so long to get here. Just in my car. Yeah. That's not right. No.
That was the one.
Oh.
No. It was too close to Tom's character.
Yeah.
Like I'll be doing some, if not all, of those laughs for my characters.
All right, good. Use them. They're all my scraps.
Thank you. You pass through the rest of the city without incident. The shrine that you're heading towards, the Shrine of Man, is...
overrated.
No, it has a small... it has kind of... It looked like it was built long ago. Long, long ago. And has not... They've maintained it, but they haven't tried to update it with the times, despite the money or whatever. There's a wall that surrounds it. Not a defensive wall, just to kind of separate it from the rest of the city. The gates, however, these wooden gates are wide open. Inside, you see some grassy grounds. There's a little fountain that dominates your attention. It's a small complex. There's a couple small outbuildings.
Sorry.
Matt gestured to pretend to flip the table, which was hilarious on our end.
I got a really strong drink. And it fueled me.
I better speed up the rate I'm doing this because you guys are getting drunk.
Yeah, it's getting...
All right,
shaky over here. Okay.
Well, we're on some difficult terrain, though, right?
We're good.
Yeah. When you're drunk, all terrain is difficult terrain.
That's true.
Oh, that might win.
We haven't even fought anything yet.
Double move. To the toilet. Blah, blah, blah.
That's a daily.
Burst 3.
It's a small complex. The Shrine of Man's at the heart of there's a couple outbuildings, small wooden buildings, probably where the priests or whatever reside. The heart of it, though, is a large stone building, maybe two or three stories tall, made out of stonework. Again, two flights of stairs, and I'll remove the map, and I will produce for you the complex.
Is it happening?
Is that gentleman still with us?
Yeah, he is.
My name's Halvik.
Do you have a question for him?
Where's the rest of the chipmunks?
Yep. That's mine. Theodore.
No, I don't know. I just kind of want to get a read out.
Theodric.
Check doesn't reveal anything particularly good.
Simonk.
This is the squeak wall.
Well, I've seen this setup before in Skulls, the movie, with Joshua Jackson.
Oh, yeah. I don't know Paul Walker.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great scene in that where they play Higher by Creed. Best musical cue.
Oh, God.
In any movie ever.
That would do it.
They played the entire song.
It's just Joshua Jackson and Paul Walker listening to it in their dorm room.
Really expensive beanbags.
Yep.
Guys, it's a point in the plot where they connect.
Gotta be,
turning
dude.
Point to act two.
They take everything higher.
Is that when he's like falling off the roof and he catches him? I just outed myself from seeing that movie.
No, it's when like they're at the... There's like a thing where all the girls come out.
Oh, yeah. Guys, let's shut the mics off. Jesus.
Welcome to
the toilets.
Welcome to the Skulls podcast. Gotcha.
What an elaborate way.
Yeah.
To get listeners. To get more, like, plugs for the Skulls, a movie from the...
You can get it on VHS.
From my apartment. I've got stacks.
You just hand them out.
Yeah.
Hollywood and Highland.
Chuck them out the window.
Yeah.
Give your money to Gub. Tom's at the door.
You don't have anything smaller?
No bills over one.
Would you all like to place yourself? So,
just so you know, there's grounds around this. There's a wall just a little bit further out. This is a fountain outside. There's a big statue to the anonymous gentleman this is named after. Inside, of course, is a tomb. When you walk in, you notice, first of all, as you enter, that outside is a snow-white horse and another, like, darker model.
How many horses does she have?
Snow White.
More than her dwarves.
Inside, you see there are of course the shrine maidens, who you see there, who tend to the Shrine of Man. Of course, one of the many reasons to come and see the Shrine of Man. Tending to the center tomb is the high priest in the purple robes there, who, despite the miniature that I'm using, is an older gentleman.
Mm.
And you also see that there's a guard standing inside and is kind of keeping watch over a gentleman. You recognize him immediately, Doc.
Prince Ezra.
Prince Ezra. And he seems to be in prayer at the shrine as you guys come in.
Is there a place to put things you wanted to leave within the shrine?
Absolutely, there is. Yeah, the high priest, there's this place right in front of the tomb, which is, of course, kind of a, it's very much kind of a tomb of the unknown soldier kind of thing. The priest, as you guys come in, goes, is this your first time here?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then,
yeah.
Please, if you have anything to offer, you may leave it there at the base of the tomb.
So, Ralph's going to go up and he takes a cylinder from his backpack and places it on the altar and kneels one knee down and recites something under his breath.
Okay.
You know, there's actually a cliff outside. It's a lot better than this commercialized place where they're just probably going to charge you money to leave it here.
So I hear him say that to me in the middle of my prayer. So I wouldn't, I'm not going to interrupt what I'm saying under my breath.
I just shrug. It's his choice, but I mean, out of all religious things, you're going to take someone to the shrine of man.
Ariant looks at the prince, just under his breath. He's like, hey, I'm a nobleman as well, heir to my throne, so perhaps one day we'll be ruling kingdoms together.
Turns and looks at him and goes, welcome. What land do you hail from?
Well, Thunderblood.
Thunderblood. I've heard of that kingdom indeed in my studies. It's far from here, is it not? You've traveled well.
Yeah, it's been a long travel. Gone on many quests, trying to meet all people.
Come. I'm finished with my prayers here, but I can spend some time speaking with you if you wish.
I'd love that.
Have a seat here. He makes some room. There's a very calm demeanor about him.
Can Darjeeti do something?
Absolutely.
He walks in within earshot of the ladies. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he takes that necklace that he stole out.
Oh.
And I'm going to bluff check for a 14.
Okay.
And he starts going, we made it, Dad. We made it. I told you I'd get you here, and we got here.
Oh.
I miss you every day.
She notices. She turns. Did you lose someone close to you? And she puts a hand upon your shoulder. You can see, quite comely for a shrine maiden. Festal virgins, all of them, of course.
I look at her and I say, you could say that.
Oh. Is there anything I can help you with?
That's very sweet of you.
Oh.
I'll be all right.
Very well.
I'm going to take a moment.
She nods politely and steps aside.
I love your robes.
Oh. Oh, they make us wear these things, silly old robes.
They're not that silly.
Oh? I would like to say that, although this podcast may be for adults, that we will stay away from erotic roleplay. No ERP at the table.
Better roll high, motherfucker.
We'll just...
And I'll be leaving. No.
Do a tasteful cutaway to the curtains. Swaying.
Sweating curtains.
Swaying.
Arcana check. Oh. Different.
Passive insight, sir. You notice at this moment that Halvik, your insight, you get a sudden like a tenseness coming from him. Passive perception. You notice that Halvik reaches for something that he has seemingly tucked into his pants at the back. All
right.
As he reaches, the sun, by the way, is setting in the sky right now. Beautiful golden and reddish light is cascading through the high windows on the second story, which I haven't shown you, but it goes up. There's no ceiling here. It goes up about 30 feet. And there are a few ropes that are hanging down where those curtains are drawn, shutting off. It looks like there's other little sections here. But there's also some ropes hanging down on either side of them that seem to lead to the bells to be tolled overhead. Wolf, you're going to take it?
Wolf has gone around and kind of, so he has a frontal vision of Halvik and is really just eyeing him, you know, almost doesn't quite trust him. Is readying that if he sees something he doesn't like.
Halvik is focused on.
He's going to pop him.
Halvik is focused on Prince Ezra with almost laser-like intensity. Duke Ezra seems to be oblivious and is engaging you in very polite talk about ruling kingdoms, and he seems genuinely interested in everything you have to say and is providing lots of useful little pieces of information, and there's a lot to say, a lot to listen as well, listens very politely. Yeah.
My passive perception is 13 when I pick up on Halvik's stare.
13?
Yeah.
No, not quite.
Oh.
You do notice he's acting a little intense, but that's about it. Duke Ezra is engaged. Around this point, you suddenly hear outside, "Halt! You can't enter!" And then whoosh, cut off. And then all of a sudden, blackness overwhelms the entire shrine. It's like you guys have all just gone spontaneously blind, but you just lose complete sight of everything. The maidens go, "Oh my god, help!" And the high priest goes, "Everyone, where are the torches? Find the torches!"
Even with dark vision, can I see through that with dark vision?
Yes, you can. Very good. Yeah, if anyone has dark vision.
Dwarves. I have low light vision.
Low light vision's no good. It's totally like the dark of night.
I have a necklace.
Does the necklace he stole from the child who stole from the merchant give him dark vision?
No. Yes.
Yes?
No. Keeping it on your toes.
We're trying to keep this very straight for the listeners.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The necklace, the stolen necklace, does not confer magical dark vision.
Oh. That necklace belonged to my father.
No, I'm sorry.
You don't know anything about
it. Okay. Goes totally dark. Bam! You hear the double doors flung open. You can't make anything out in the darkness, unfortunately. Except you, Grawford. And you see, striding into the room, up the stairs, a host of men, or man-shaped. You can't quite make out what their race would be because they're cloaked from head to toe.
Man-shapes is also the name of the first Crit Juice swimsuit calendar.
Dark man-shapes.
All the months will be Gary Soldati's
in the world. With us in the background going, yeah.
All of us just give a thumbs up where all of us have shirts except for Gary.
And we'll be blurry in the background.
We're basically the Stillwater poster from Almost Famous.
Oh, yeah, I know Stillwater.
Assholes.
It's a Gary, compliment, dude.
It's not
our fault. You need to become comfortable with your gorgeousness. We gotta find you a girl.
Your charisma's tacked.
Oh no, what's her face?
Oh yeah, you got her.
Yeah, my wife. Yeah. My wife.
Everything good?
Everything's great.
Where is she?
Things aren't that good.
We're taking a break.
Just in time.
3 months in?
Yep.
Honestly though, are you guys okay?
The hardest part for you to
The hardest thing for you to parse, you see the shapes dressed all in the dark men. In the center of them, in the back, is another much less human-shaped. It's more of like a rolling cloak of blackness, which is darkness just boiling off, just kind of cascading off. And so it's kind of like an amorphous 7-ish foot tall, robed in black, featureless thing.
It's a symbiote.
It's venom.
Is that one of them, or that's just something?
That seems to be with them.
Okay.
None of them, no one else in here can see any of this.
So I'm going to yell out, "We have 6 humanoids and an unknown coming up behind us from the other entrance."
How do you think that guy feels?
He's like, excuse me, I'm not unknown. People know who I am.
Very well respected.
Well, we have one rude dwarf, so.
That is how it sounds. That is how the black amorphous creature.
How does that feel?
Okay, let us have, if I may, initiative checks.
Oh, everybody take a drink, you motherfuckers. Yeah.
Roll high, friends.
Initiate drunkenness.
Oh, baby.
Hey, this is Matt Buholtz. Thanks for listening to Crit Juice. This podcast is intended for a mature audience. And as always, roll responsibly. Don't drink and drive.